lawn the attention it deserves with Carolina Top Dressing. Is your fescue looking thin? Our expert fescue overseeding service paired with aeration is just what you need. But here's the secret. Without top dressing, much of that precious seed goes to waste. Why? Because seed needs soil contact to grow. At Carolina Top Dressing, we make sure every seed finds its place, whether it's in the aeration holes or covered by our premium top dressing mix. Don't let your investment go to waste. Visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to book your service today.
The Roar.
You guys are the number one sports station because you make the phones light up.
Where every day is game day.
All right, hour two, out of bounds. William Plugamush, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks to Ashton Hampton and Tink Kelly for joining us. Later on this hour, we're going to have interim Clemson University Fire Chief Aaron Bunye, who is going to join us, talking about, this is something we talked about on the air last year, the 9/11 stair climb in Memorial Stadium.
I did that last year.
And loved it, right?
I did. I actually did.
Really cool.
It.
So we'll let him talk about that coming up on Thursday. In the meantime, though, we're talking Dabo Swinney's press conference. You found something very interesting about Georgia Tech relating to Clemson that I just think if you had said this 5 years ago, that I would have said you were absolutely crazy. What did you find out about Clemson's team and Georgia Tech?
Well, I started looking because I've done, you know, people know I do the production broadcast for football and basketball. And I love going to Bobby Dodd Stadium. I really do. It's a cool stadium since the renovations. But I feel like I haven't been there in forever. Yet Georgia Tech is a team that I still think of as one that you play every year, although you don't anymore. So I was just looking at the last time. I was like, man, it feels like it's been 5 years or so. Well, it actually has. Since Clemson played there, the 2022 game was played in Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, but it was not at Bobby Dodd. So you've got to go back to October 17th, 2020, the last time Clemson was in Bobby Dodd Stadium. So it has been a long time. And then I thought, well, are there players on Clemson's team? My thought was there's no one who has played in that stadium. There's actually only four and a half that have.
Four and a half.
The half is Hunter Helms. Hunter Helms, who had two touchdowns as the fourth string quarterback, or I don't know where he was on the pecking order back then, but yeah.
I think they were allowing donations for, like, you two could have a touchdown in this game.
Yeah, Hunter Helms had a career day in that stadium. That's how far back you have to go. Tyler Venables, DeMonte Capehart, Quinn Kasner, and Walker Parks are the only players who have ever played a game there. So Capehart and Walker Parks, two starters. That's it.
How about that? That's nuts to me. I mean, that really is nuts to me. You go 73-7 in 2020 is the last time that Clemson was in Bobby Dodd Stadium?
Yeah.
My gosh, that does seem like a long time ago. Long time ago.
But yet, you know, Georgia Tech is a rival of Clemson. I mean, certainly in my mind, they're a rival. Coach Swinney referenced that they were a rival. And I always think about it that way. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to going there.
Do you know, it was not that long ago, like relatively speaking, that Bobby Dodd Stadium was considered a house of horrors for Clemson?
Yes, Quok, I do know that.
Not that long ago.
Because I've been horrified there multiple times.
Can I horrify you with, I can't believe it's been this long? 2014, the last time Clemson lost in Bobby Dodd Stadium, that was a notable game.
I remember that game very well because There was a pretty significant injury that day.
Pretty significant. Georgia Tech's defense scored as many points as their offense did. You know, the through line with Georgia Tech is Brent Venables.
Yeah, we're talking about Deshaun tearing his ACL there.
That's right.
Actually, I don't know if he actually tore it. It tore it later.
Still
a mystery.
Put Dabo Swinney on here, you'll get it is one of the most interesting conversations to ask, like, multiple people. So what did you hear about Deshaun's injury? When did that happen? What happened there?
Is a man on an extra man on the grassy knoll. I do remember Rodney Williams was doing color for radio at the time, and Rodney pulled his headset off and threw them the moment that Deshaun went down. And, you know, like, I thought Rodney was going to be sick, actually.
It was not fun.
Day.
I remember where I was watching. It was a bad day.
And then, and I still blame Roy Philpott for this, because Roy at the time was trying to talk coaches into throwing a no-look pass. Well, it turns out the backup, who was?
Cole Stout.
Cole Stout actually threw a no-look pass.
Not the way Roy wanted, though.
That promptly went for six the other way. Threw it all the way across from one sideline to the other.
Oh, my God.
Never saw it.
That's incredible. I do think it's interesting that for, like, 15 years, Clemson had a really hard time winning there, except for the one random, like, was it 03 that they won, like, 39-3? Just, like, blew Georgia Tech completely out. And then Brent Venables came, and all of a sudden, like, the option didn't work. Like, even that 14 game, Clemson only scored 6 points. Georgia Tech's defense scored 2 touchdowns. They gave up 14 points that game. Brent Venables totally shut down the option, and Clemson hasn't even played a close game in the Brent Venables era other than 2014. That ain't played a close game in Atlanta. It's been coronation time. The last time that a full stadium of people watched Clemson play in Bobby Dodd Stadium was the last game that Trevor Lawrence was a backup at Clemson. It was the roll left Hunter Renfrow ball that everyone was like, oh, my God, this guy's a freaking starter. But that is weird to think about. Like, that was 7 years ago. That was a long time ago that Clemson has been there. This is also, I mean, I'm thinking about this. When's the last time that you felt like Clemson really could lose the game there? Or even against Georgia Tech, regardless? When's the last time that Georgia Tech had the caliber of team and Clemson had the caliber of team that you're going, this game is iffy right now? I was looking at it.
Yeah, I don't remember the specific. I don't. I think I was nervous. Well, I mean, that just, you didn't know exactly what was going on with Clemson in that 2014. You know, you knew you were getting better. I mean, it may be that long ago.
I remember 2021, how dumb that was. 14-6, and the safety, and you got to kick off to them, and then they drive the ball like they got a chance to like win the game with a touchdown and can't complete the pass.
14-8 is sandwiched between 73-7 and 41-10.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Which one of these is not like the other?
I think it is absolutely hilarious to think about that in 2019, Clemson starts with Georgia Tech, and people in this building still talk about that they brought barbells on the sideline, and we were doing power hour on the sidelines, and then a sloppy first half by Clemson to win by 38 in that opener.
There was someone on staff that we referenced a Georgia Tech game. Was that a Thursday night?
That was a Thursday night. Yeah.
And this person responded with, "Was that the barbell game?"
Yeah. Yes. And it is indeed the barbell game. What a disaster. That was like the beginning of the end for Jeff Collins. And if you add that to the 73-7, those two games that Jeff Collins coached, when I count 2021 because it doesn't support the narrative, those two games were a combined 122-17.
Wow.
122-21, I'm sorry, 122-21.
You know, I mean, it actually has not been a house of horrors in a long time down there, but – you could really argue you got to go back to like 2011 before you were really nervous about going there. With that said, none of that really matters Saturday, because I think Brent Key has changed things there. He's changed the culture there that quick. And the other thing is, they were so bad on the line of scrimmage for so long, and they are not anymore.
No.
I mean, they are not. And just, you could tell by Coach Sweeney's press conference how much respect he has for Brent Key and Georgia Tech. And listen, it wasn't coach speak, so it's been a really kind place to you the last decade. I don't know that really matters Saturday, because it is a different caliber team now.
Oh, I agree. I really believe maybe 14. Like 09, I remember going there like 09, 11. Like those were – you thought those were going to be nip-and-tuck games. You did. 14, you maybe thought it was going to be a nip-and-tuck game. To me, one of the things that's interesting about this matchup is that I think there are some position battles that Georgia Tech is like winning. Like I think that they're going to win some position battles. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. When we come back, very cool things going on campus. We're going to talk about it. It is the 9/11 Memorial Stadium steps ceremony. We're going to talk about that when we come back. It's coming up later this week. Stay with us. Hour number two of the program continues right after this.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Reed's Jewelers has expanded their Haywood Mall location, and it's because of their great customers. America's largest family-owned jeweler is in the same location, with nearly twice the showroom space as before. Shop the store and be amazed at how you'll save on diamonds, watches, and more. You're the reason Reed's has grown and moved into their new 21st century expanded store. Reed's Jewelers, delivering superior customer service. Next to Belk on the top floor in Haywood Mall. Online at Reed's.com.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one. Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Anyone know a good plumber? It's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one. Tom Plumber.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have 2-stall, 3-stall, and 4-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights, AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms. 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main in Fountain Inn, 3085 Allen Bridge Road. Online, AMPMFarmsButcheryAndMarket.com.
Hey there, Tiger fans. Thinking about making Clemson your forever home? Whether you're a recent grad, proud alum, parent of a current student, or just love those orange sunsets over Death Valley, Great Southern Homes has the perfect place for you to settle down in Tiger Town. With our central Clemson communities of Springwood Grove, Edwards Ridge, and Champions Village, Great Southern Homes has a variety of floor plans, endless personalization options, and upgrades to fit your unique taste. Visit GreatSouthernHomes.com today to learn more about our Central Clemson communities.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England, Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to four-year universities. Visit tctc.edu.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com. That's scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Huge savings on Dell AI PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors are here, and they're newly designed to help you do more faster. They can generate code, edit images, multitask without lag, draft emails, summarize documents, create live translations, and even extend your battery life. That's the power of Dell AI with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Summer's wrapping up, and life is picking back up. Early mornings, long days, and a to-do list that doesn't quit. And neither should you. Who has time to slow down due to body pain? That's why there's Aleve, to keep you going. With just one pill, Aleve delivers longer-lasting body pain relief per dose compared to other leading OTC-branded pain relievers. Aleve helps keep you moving from sunup to sundown with up to 12 hours of pain relief per dose, so you can keep moving and be ready for whatever's next. Use as directed.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list and a statue.
William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead, Mike Vaughn back in the Upcountry Fiber Studios. It's a Tiger Tuesday. We're live on the second floor of the cab, the Poe Indoor Practice Facility, inside the Reeves Complex. A lot of football talk today. We want to shift gears just for a moment and talk about a cool opportunity here on campus, the 9/11 Memorial Stadium stair climb. This is the third year they've done it. It is Thursday in honor of those who lost their lives for September 11th. And here to talk about it, Interim Fire Chief Aaron Bunyan joins us. Chief, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great, and it's great to be here.
For sure. Now, walk us through this event. Ben, I know you did it last year, so you've got a first person on this, but this is a really cool opportunity, and I know a unique thing that we get to do.
Yeah, for sure. So on this coming up Thursday on September 11th, obviously we're going to honor those who have lost their lives on that day from 2001. Those gates will be opening at 7:30 a.m. in the morning. The event will begin about 8:30, and there's some discussions that will happen. We'll have some slideshows going on, and then we'll begin the walk to climb that 110 flights of stairs to simulate the World Trade Center.
Very cool. Ben, I know you did this last year, and it was a really moving experience.
I was not expecting the level of reverence that took place during this. You know, I'm thinking of it as an exercise. You know, primarily you're gonna it's not easy, as you'd imagine, but the names of victims going on the scoreboard and things while you were doing it, and realizing how long you've been walking and the names are still going. I mean, it was really impactful. And you see, you know, first responders in full turnout gear, high schools, you know, a lot of civic organizations out there. It was very impactful for me. I got a little injury. I would love to do this again this week. I will do it every year that I'm able.
That's awesome. And I'm sure you've heard that from many people, how impactful, how moving it is.
Yeah, 100. Yeah, it's even for me, it's very humbling. Even though I'm part of the whole team that's putting this together, to see the amount of people that still show respect for all those that have fallen on 9/11. You know, this year we will still have some folks that are in gear climbing these flights, the stairs, just like they do in the past. I got a really good, dedicated team of individuals that love doing that, to show that reverence and that respect to those.
Now, your relationship with 9/11, I mean, you were sent overseas right after 9/11 as a member of the Air Force, so I know this is a meaningful event for you personally, too.
Yeah, you know, obviously the morning of the 9/11 happened, I got the phone call, you know, shortly in the afternoon that day to prepare to deploy. We left about 9 days later. We were airborne, going overseas, getting ready to build the bases where we could launch our attacks to the Taliban from there.
So, like I say, you're part of putting this on, but this has meaning for you. And the timeline, as Ben talked about, of, you know, you're sort of following the whole timeline of the day, right? And there's sort of markers of things that happen that are going to be announced as well as a part of this, so people can really feel the gravity of the way that the day transpired, right?
Yeah, so as the events go on, there'll be some interruptions while people are walking, and there'll be an announcement, you know, first tower was hit. That's when the walk will start, and then we'll, you know, when the second tower was hit, when the towers start falling, we start making those announcements as real time as it happened that day.
Visiting with Interim Fire Chief Aaron Bunyer here to talk about the 9/11 Memorial Stadium stair climb. Thursday morning, 7:30 gates open, 8:30 the walk begins. I'm curious, you're a member of sort of the first responders at Clemson. I think one of the things that Clemson does great, we talk about military appreciation all the time. In conjunction with that, honoring first responders, it feels like right in the sweet spot of what we do here at Clemson.
Yeah, it's a very time-honored tradition. Clemson is one of the very few colleges that has their own fire and EMS agency. We also obviously have the police force on the campus that works with us. But we are very proud of what we do here on the campus. We're very prideful of the service that we provide to all of the students, all of the staff, all the guests that come in. We cover every football game. We bring in a lot of folks to make sure that everybody has an awesome experience here.
Well, this event, it's year three of it, so it's happened a couple times. I mean, I can't imagine there are a million schools. Maybe there are, like a million schools doing it. What was it like sort of as this thing was coming together, and how's it gone the first couple times?
So the first couple times it was small. You know, it grows every year. This year we were asked to open up the event right again. We had over 100 people that are trying to get in after we sold out. So
wow.
It was a pretty good request. We have fire departments from the upstate coming to join us this year. Last year we had a couple. We've got a few more coming this year that are going to walk with us, arm in arm, so to speak, to help to be with our team here at Clemson.
The way the community has embraced it, I mean, you know, that notwithstanding just the signups, but this feels like a community that's all in for something like this.
Yeah, we for sure are all in. Like I said before, our team is very dedicated to this. We do not want this to go down in history and go silent. We are going to make sure that this stays out front every time we can.
You know, it has been said before that, like, for millennials like me, that this was like our Pearl Harbor in some ways. But it does seem like, as time goes past, that we leave a little more of that in the past. Is that part of the reason for doing this, is to make sure that people remember the gravity and the catastrophic loss and what it meant to our nation that day?
Sure. You know, we were actually talking about that the other day. You know, most of the people that are coming to Clemson University now weren't even alive, you know, when the whole event happened. So we want to keep this out in front so they are always seeing that.
Awesome. I know you're busy today. I appreciate you taking a few minutes. This is an awesome thing. Would really encourage folks, if they want to sign up, How can they do that?
So they would have to get on that Eventbrite site that was sent out. I don't know if it's full again. I'm pretty sure it's pretty close to being tapped out, sold out again. But yeah, just either way, you can support us by your thoughts, your prayers, and, you know, give us a thumbs up while you're driving by. Honk the horn. Do what you got to do.
I tell you what, if you got an elliptical at home or something, you could do it at home if you can't get in. And
that's
just
right.
Remember it. I think that's pretty cool. Chief Bunny, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time. Appreciate the effort that goes into this. And good luck on Thursday. I know it's going to go great.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
All right. You too. When we come back, we'll talk more Dabo Swinney press conference and more college football. Stay with us on a Tiger Tuesday.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Overwhelmed by Medicare? Alone? Maybe a bit scared? Don't worry, we've got you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
Hey Clemson fans, this summer turn up the style and turn down the heat at Tiger Sports Shop. Whether you're chasing the sun or staying in the shade, we've got lightweight looks from Nike and Lululemon to keep you cool. Don't miss out on our sizzling summer shavings. It's the coolest way to celebrate your Clemson pride. Football season is coming fast, so get your gear and be ready to cheer. Shop local at our two Clemson locations, Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue, or order anytime at tigersports.com. Where summer style beats Tiger spirit.
Danny Ford here for my good friends at Bennett Equipment, who have stood the test of time selling and renting construction equipment for 25 years now. Bennett is one of the top five dealers in the country for Takeuchi compact equipment, and when you deal with Bennett and Takeuchi, you get the quality, dependability, and service you expect and deserve. So call or stop by today and tell them Danny Ford sent you. Take it from me, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
America is in a health crisis, a crisis that is affecting not just strangers across the country, but you, me, friends, and family. It's a health crisis that's being caused by being overweight and so many people trying to resolve those issues with Ozempic and other drugs. But the cure for this issue is learning how to eat and think about food differently, and that's exactly what PhD Weight Loss does. Their patients drop up to a third of their body weight without ever taking a drug. Clients learn to turn their bodies into fat-burning machines using real food behavioral coaching and, of course, proven science. Habits that will, in fact, last a lifetime. Sure, you could go the Ozempic route and spend $20,000 to only regain all that weight a year from now, or you go with the proven PhD Weight Loss method. PhD Weight Loss helps you wake up your metabolism so that your body produces its own weight loss hormones, the GLP-1s, without any extra medication. Call 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900, or go to myphdweightloss.com.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you guys can help a lot as far as preparing for those winter storms.
You know, winds come and storms happen, but if your tree is properly pruned, it's not going to fall to the storm like one that isn't. We would recommend that you prune it properly so the wind can get through it. Your tree can be healthy and strong. We don't want to top them out. If you top a tree, you're going to have a bigger problem in 3 to 5 years. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join us this Friday night for the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingles. This Friday night takes us to Pendleton High School, where the Bulldogs face off with the Powdersville Patriots in what's become a fun, heated rivalry over the past few years. Join us every Friday night this fall, live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Off to the final whistle. Your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Oh, 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 oh.
Hour two continues out of bounds. William Quaggenbush, Ben Milstead with you. Before we tell you some more about Underdog, let me say that. Let me do a shout out to Mia McGrath and Kennedy Wagner for a second. Those are two volleyball, I'm calling them on air interns for the Tiger pregame show. Mm-hmm. They are also Clemson volleyball players. They were here today recording little interviews that are going to be used in the Tiger pregame show this week. They literally came here from class. They had like 40 minutes. Then they're going over to do meetings at 1 o'clock at Jervie. They play Georgia tonight at 6 o'clock over there. Yes, I did point to track.
You did?
Jervie is that way. And both teams are 5-0. First time Clemson's been 5-0 since 2014. They beat South Carolina for the first time since 1994. If you're looking for something to do tonight, Jervie Gym, free to get in. Good concessions, from what I hear, if you get my drift. And I think they're pretty good. They're playing really, really well. So shout out to them. They did a really good job. I've gotten to preview both those interviews. They did a good job. And they're doing good work for us.
Yeah, they were part of the show on Saturday and did a good job. I walked in, and it looked like Quak was hosting a, you know, some kind of reality TV show, you know, I don't know. They had him sitting over on a bar stool.
It was an esteemed panel or some kind of panel situation.
It was really good. So if you on the 9/11 stair climb, if you just search Clemson 9/11 stair climb, it'll, you know, in Google, it'll come right up. On clemson.edu, there is a story that has a link in it there. And, you know, even if you can't do it, I would imagine, let's see here. I believe it will still allow you to get tickets for that. Yes, you can. So I would encourage you to do that. I will tell you, you can do as many or as few as you are able. I try to be an overachiever. And was, but I paid for it for about 6 days afterwards. But you don't have to do that. There are people who, you know, they go up a flight and sit down for a minute. They provided water and things in a couple places. But it truly is a moving experience. And it caught me off guard last year. I mean, it really did. And I think that's evident by what I'm saying. It did. A great event, and if you know, sometimes we just need that little reminder of what happened, 24 years ago? Mm-hmm. This is a great reminder, and it was a little reality check for me last year. I went to New York this summer, went to the 9/11 Memorial. I think that was my sixth or seventh time being there. And every time it hits me again, I went there the year I went there the first time in 2002 or 2003, I think. Mm. And I mean, they were still digging.
I was gonna say it wouldn't even been built. You're just looking at a site then.
Oh yeah, I mean they were still a little in somewhat of a cleanup stage then. But anyway, so check that out. And if you show up for that, I promise you will you'll not be the same when you leave.
There's no easy way to transition from that to Underdog, but we must. Underdog, it's the best place to play daily fantasy. I'm thinking about the Clemson Georgia Tech game, and I spend a lot of time on Underdog, just sort of seeing where people are, seeing what the numbers tell me, seeing what people are liking, the movement of certain player props, as it were. And that's one of the beautiful things about Underdog is not only is it a place to play, but it's also a place to get some information about the way that people are assuming things are going to go. That I do that for college football. I do it for the NFL. I do it for Major League Baseball. I'm probably going to have a couple baseball plays tonight because I've been playing all football weekend and ain't no football tonight. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions have already won. Billions make it picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus, present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play. Get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit ncpgambling.org. Oh, boy. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to join us on the phones or on the Adams Coping text line. 654-7627. A couple more things from Dabo's press conference. You know, we talked about the importance of Antonio Williams, and I want to ask Dabo this. Like, if I were to put Dabo, like, in the hot seat right now, if he's in the hot seat, the no-spin zone, okay, and I pumped him full of True Serum, I would be like, hey, Dabo, who is your best player? Because he's been saying, after the last two games, he's been saying, if the worst thing about today is that, or the main thing about today is that our best player didn't play well, sign me up for that, because I know how two's going to respond. He almost said verbatim that same thing in two consecutive postgame press conferences. Mm-hmm. And then today, the question is asked, so, without Antonio Williams, what has this offense been missing? And he said, quote, he's our best player. He's the best player we got, close quote. I don't know if Dabo is just talking about Cade because he's the best one available, but you can't have two best players, Ben, and so I have questions for Dabo.
I heard that too. My assumption was he's talking about the best wide receiver when he said that. You know, could be also that he's had a change of heart after seeing the way things have gone last 2 weeks.
I mean, listen, it does feel like there's a lot of reason to believe that Antonio Williams is the leader of this group.
Yeah. Let me say something about him, quote. I do think there's a faction of the fan base who want to put all the eggs in the Antonio Williams basket because that's the hope that they have. We're going to get him back at some point. I hope that he makes all the difference. And, look, you can hope. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do think we can maybe put too much in that because the way things on paper play out, if he's in the game, Tyler Brown was not in the game, and Tyler Brown's been pretty productive. So it's not like you're going to get additional production. He's replacing some of it. It does give you more options, though. He does. And he's a fantastic player. I'm certainly not saying he's not. But I don't know that he changes the decision-making, the timing, all of that for Cade. Maybe mentally it does help Cade, just knowing that he's there. But, you know, I would be cautious about putting too many expectations on Williams once he's back. Is that fair?
I would agree. The thing that worries me is kind of your thought. This is why coaches get paid a lot of money and we just get to talk about it. All right, put Antonio Williams back on the field. To your point, that will require, unless somebody else is off the field in a way that we didn't expect, that your best receiver consistently over two games. Bryant Wesco was the best receiver in the second half against Troy. But in the other three halves, and if we're talking about consistent production and consistently doing your job, consistently not busting, not missing opportunities, et cetera, I think Tyler Brown has been the best receiver on this football team over the course of both games. Again, Wesco's got better numbers. He played much better than everybody else in the second half. He gave the type of performance you would expect from him. So you're not taking him off the field. I'm not sure you're taking TJ Moore off the field, even though – to me, he has left a lot to be desired, and I think we both had very high expectations for him. He just has not. He has not played well, point-blank period. He has not played well. But you also – that makes you kind of tiny at receiver. If you've got Wesco and Williams and Brown, I'm not saying you can't do that some, but you kind of need somebody that like, has some length to go up and get the ball. Ben, it's unclear who has to leave. Like, Antonio Williams, if he's going to elevate that whole group, I fail to see – how he does that without also taking some away, you know? And that's where the coaches get paid a lot of money. That's why they get paid a lot of money, is to figure out how do we make this piece fit without taking some away that's meaningful from what we've been able to do through two games. And you know what? To be quite honest with you, I'm not sure Antonio Williams plays this week. I don't know that. He's got a hamstring issue. Like, those are tricky. And Dabo did not give any specifics on injuries today, so we don't know.
Again, huge Antonio Williams fan sitting here. I really am. Here's your hot take for the day, Quok.
Oh boy.
I think right now you could be justified in saying putting Tristan Smith on the field more is just as impact could be just as impactful as putting Antonio Williams on the field.
It's above. It's like the wins above replacement in baseball.
Yeah.
It's like because of what you're getting on top of what you've already gotten. I agree with that. I think Tristan Smith needs to play. I felt bad for him on Saturday because his knee, and it wasn't his fault. His knee's down. He got 6'5", and the fielding ground balls. Like, what do you want to do?
I mean, it just. Am I wrong to think that Williams and Brown are a lot of the same player?
No, I mean, I think that ideally Wesco profiles like a field receiver, Williams profiles like a slot receiver, and Moore is more of a boundary receiver. If you wanted to keep Williams and Brown on the field, you slide Williams out there, but then you're taking Wesco off the field.
Yeah, and you had to do that some last year, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. Now, Texter says from the 704, it would clearly have to be Moore that loses the most PT from Williams' training. That's David Piedmont. I don't think it's that clear just because of what you're asking for from all of your different receiver positions. I don't think it's as clear as, like in a video game, yeah, you could just be like, oh, okay, well, you just lost a guy, you just bump everybody up and do that, all that, whatever. But when you've got T.J. Moore profiles as a boundary receiver. He is the Mike Williams. He is the Nuke Hopkins. He is the Martavis Bryant. Like, he is the guy who is going to get the 9 routes and the comebacks and the 50-50 balls. He's got a couple more inches and a little more size.
The other, talking about wide receivers, the other thing that we saw last year that I don't recall, tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've seen it this year. Remember there were times that you would go 4 wide, but Brenningstuhl was one of the 4?
Yes.
And he was not lined up in a traditional tight end spot, you know?
Yes.
I don't think you've seen that this year. And, you know, like a Bettencourt or Olsen Pat Henrys, you know, especially Bettencourt. I struggled with blocking last week, but the kid's big and tough and strong. He's got that Davis Allen grit about him, and we saw him catch. I mean, I think that's something that you can work in here eventually as well.
One of the things schematically that I still am puzzled by, and I can explain it away using coach logic, but I can't explain away using Quok logic, if that makes sense, is I really thought that one of the strengths of this team, and we haven't been able to see it yet, so I can appreciate that, would be going 4 wides and creating all sorts of mismatches and creating the opportunity to diagnose man and zone with both Williams and Brown in the slots, plural, and tight ends off the field. I know people love the tight end position, but right now, if I'm not blocking for the run game, Cade has completed 6 passes in 2 games to the tight ends. That's an average of 3 a game to the tight ends. If I'm not blocking for the run game, and Antonio Williams is healthy, I would rather have Tyler Brown on the field and either T.J. Moore or Tristan Smith in the boundary than I would rather have Bettencourt or Pat Henry or Sapp on the field. That's no disrespect to them. That's just who do you feel has the best chance to make this play that we all know is about to happen? If everybody knows, you know, and I know, and the audience knows, and Cade knows, and the defense knows, and everybody in the venue, and everybody watching at home knows that they're about to throw the ball, why does it matter if I have a tight end on the field? Like, Clemson's not just running it on 3rd and 9 because the defense thinks they're going to pass. They're going to throw the ball. I think that's one of the things that we haven't seen yet that I've been most excited about. I said that before the LSU game. Use tiny little slot receivers to put Harold Perkins in jail, to put him in total conflict. Then Williams gets hurt in the first series, and you can't really ever deploy that.
Yeah, and since we're talking about wide receivers, I would just ask people to maybe pump the brakes a little bit on the T.J. Moore hate also right now.
I would agree with that.
He has not played well this year. I think if he was here today, he would tell us, he would agree with that. At the same time, let's not forget what he did last year as a true freshman. And he could be the definition of a little bit of a sophomore slump right now. But listen, we got to talk to him last year. That kid is well put together physically and mentally, and that was obvious to us. I remember us interviewing him. He is all business, and don't throw in the towel on T.J. Moore long term. He's struggling right now, yeah, but some of the things that I've heard people say about him, it's like he's some scrub, and he's a baseball player in a slump, hitting slump.
Dabo talked about that some today, where he basically was like, you know, none of us have people writing about the worst thing that we do in our day. He was talking about punting. You know, they open up two periods of practice and a punter shank everything, and then everybody goes home and writes how the punter shanked everything. And he's like, well, that's not the only time we punt in practice. And you know what? That's a fair point. You know, it's a relatively small sample size that people get to see, which, I mean, my counterargument would be, well, you could just open up the whole practice and we'd be able to see it all. But, you know, the other side of that is we won't open up practice at all and nobody would get to see anything. So it's the two sides of the same coin on that.
There's no doubt in my mind T.J. Moore is still going to end up being a superstar.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't.
He's just not been in two games.
I know people are saying you got to just take him off the field. But think about what that does, okay? Think about what that does. It makes you tiny at receiver. You're tiny. Let's say you go four wide. Well, if you go four wide, then you're having Tristan Smith or a tight end or T.J. Moore on the field. If you go three wide with a tight end, your wide receivers are Antonio Williams, Tyler Brown, Brian Wesco. That is – there's no big. The only thing you're doing with your receivers are you're just running – you're trying to run past people. There's no threat to go on top of people or to catch something over somebody. Not really. Like, could they? Yeah. But you're sort of telegraphing what types of things you're trying to do with your passing game if you take more off the field. I'm not saying he has to be on there every snap. But to your point, Ben, there's a lot of our Adams Corbin text line, and even a lot of like my personal text line and some things that people were saying during and after the game are like, well, this guy doesn't need to play at all. If you're telling me he doesn't need to play at all because Tristan Smith needs to play more, I'd buy that, at least some snaps, to give Tristan Smith a little more share until we get T.J. Moore playing a little better.
Create that competition between those two, yes.
That's right. But when you look out there, I mean, how many times in the past have we been like, where's the frisbee catching dogs at receiver? Where's that? And a lot of y'all who were saying that want every receiver on the field to be 6 feet or smaller, you know.
And, you know, in Moore's case, he certainly had some drops. One of those was a really difficult catch. The defender made a phenomenal play on it. But we can talk about wide receivers, but we've also all acknowledged that Cade is not playing well right now. And when Cade doesn't play well, wide receivers are not going to play well. So, I mean, it is it's not all on the wide receivers either.
Can I play Coach Kwok, offensive coordinator, for a second? Because the texter, this is interesting. Love how the text from 843 says, love how Tyler gets north-south, similar to Stacy Driver.
Now, oh, man.
That is a great deep track reference right there. That is a deep track reference. I'll be honest, I don't even know if I agree or disagree with that. I'm just impressed at the reference. But what I will say is this. You know, LSU motioned receivers in the backfield a couple times. And Troy motioned receivers around, like lined the receiver up and then motioned them out. I do think if there's a gadget player out there, it is Tyler Brown. I mean, they gave him a jet sweep in the opener. He got a decent gain. He is a guy that, like, you give me a four-wide set and you motion him in the backfield with Randall, now all of a sudden either one of those guys is getting the ball. You don't know who's blocking for who. You don't know who's whatever. This is going to get me in so much trouble. I truly believe I'm going to hold Clemson to a different standard than everybody else, okay? Just for a second, just for right now, this conversation. I truly believe there will be more inventiveness and creativity in the schematics of the offense on Saturday. I do not think that we are going to look at the offense after Saturday and go, boring, bland, blah, whatever. I think you are going to see some things like Tyler Brown being motion and either a decoy or getting the ball out of the backfield. I do think we're going to see motion designed to create conflict for the defense. I think we're going to see motion into lead blocking for the run game with tight end. I think we're going to see that stuff, and we have seen it from LSU, and we've seen it from Troy, and you haven't seen as much of it from Clemson, but I don't think that means you're not going to. I know I'm giving Clemson more leeway than I would give any other team, because in every other case, I'm like, I got to go on what I've seen so far. But I do think that Clemson formationally and in terms of the pre-snap schematics, I think they are going to look better and more suitable to what the fans are upset about and what our listeners are upset about than what we've seen so far in two games.
A lot of reason to think that's true, yeah. I would agree with that.
I think that's true.
We hope.
I don't know that. And that's why I say, like, I may get in trouble for this. But I just think with the – we've talked about the strength of this team is the receivers. The weakness of this team, and I actually think this has played out. The weakness of this team is – I know people say offensive line. These backup running backs have not impressed me yet. Adam Randall did in the second half, and maybe it's that those guys didn't get going once they got the blocking figured out. But these backup running backs have not impressed me. I think if the receivers are your strength and the depth of receivers is strength, and if Williams is back and he's usable, then using receivers as a part of your run game in a bunch of different ways seems like a better use of resources than a running back rotation in a game that you could very easily lose on Saturday. Doing some creative stuff with the formations and getting other receivers involved just seems like – that seems like kind of basic stuff to me.
You're two games in now, but really – from a game plan standpoint, you're only one game in if you think about it. Because Clemson's not going to introduce major new wrinkles into the offense against Troy. Now, in hindsight, should they? Yeah. But you know what I mean? I mean,
yes.
When you're playing an opponent like that, you don't. That's not normally when you're putting new things on film.
That's right.
And your LSU game plan different than it will be going to Georgia Tech. I hope you're right. And you did see much more from the offense formationally and things like that last year. And there's a lot of those elements that seem to be missing. They're going to come back at some point. You got to think some of that is back this week. But I go back to what I said yesterday. You still have to execute. I don't care what you call. You still have to execute. And, Clemson is struggling sometimes with some of the simple there. So, make it as complex or as simple as you want. You still got to run the play, and you got to do it right.
Texter asked this question: what makes you think that? It's what you want, not what you think. On the contrary, Game 3 of 2011 is the reference point. That in the first two games of 2011, Clemson was very vanilla, and they booed Chad Morris's offense off the field, and people thought it was a repeat of 2010. And why do you have a high school coordinator? And then against Auburn, Sammy Watkins exploded. And Taj Boyd exploded, and Dwayne Allen exploded, and the offense scored 38 points. And they looked very different schematically, and they looked very different in Game 3 than they did in Game 1 or Game 2. This is, whether you agree or not, this is what Dabo does. And it doesn't mean they have to look great, but it means they have in the past looked great. He used the example of the 2016 team. The 2016 team was lousy in the first couple games offensively, including the Troy game. And they weren't great in games 3 or 4 either. But by the time they got to Lamar Jackson, they won a game where they had to score. Now, they had some more proven commodities. They'd gone to a national championship game. But my goodness, they did more. And listen, I'm not trying to compare Garrett Riley to Chad Morris or Jeff Scott or anything like that when I say this. I'm simply pointing out that there have been other times where people were asking these very same questions about Clemson teams that ended up being very good, and the questions ended up being answered in the affirmative with time. And unless we think that the entirety of the bill of goods that we were sold is bad, then it does make sense that at some point the scheme and the players are going to coincide and give us some sort of offensive output that's more like what we thought we were going to see. You kind of have to assume that. At some point, that will happen. Doesn't mean this week, but at some point, that will happen. Buff City Soap. Go online, buffcitysoap.com. Go see them in the shops at Green Ridge or the Hartwell Village Shopping Center. These are great products. This is a great team. Fantastic people. I am just over the moon with Buff City Soap. Buff City Soap in every room of my house, bathroom, kitchen, everywhere. They get it done with the hand soap and the bath soap and the shower fizzies and the bath bombs. They do laundry detergent, or the laundry soap rather, the laundry detergent now, and the dryer balls. They now have the all-purpose cleaner, the body wash. They just get better and better at Buff City Soap. Again, two locations, Shops at Greenwich, Heart Village Shopping Center, and online, buffcitysoap.com.
Phones next segment?
Yes.
Open up the phones?
Open phone, 654-ROAR is the number. If you got questions, thoughts on other games from the weekend, let us know. Hour 3 is up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.